Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity in the house of the Lord again this morning. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
Lord, we give you the glory and the praise. And we thank you for all that you do, all that you have done, and all that we are yet to receive from you. And we want to give you the glory and the praise this morning. We ask that you glorify yourself in the message of the Lord and let the people be blessed this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My message will be God's ways are higher. And that's higher than your ways. Amen. So God's ways are higher. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So right off the bat, I want to start from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And let's just read a couple of verses here. And then we have a few other verses to read to share this message with us this morning. And I know the Lord is going to bless your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So that's God's ways are higher than our ways. Now, Isaiah 55, I'm going to start from verse 8. Just a couple of verses that I will read here. And this is God describing it himself. This is how he puts it. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at the way the Lord put it. He said, first of all, he said, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. So he switched that around. You know, he said, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He didn't exactly say my ways are not your ways here. But he said, your ways, you know, so that means sometimes the way we are thinking, that's not what God is thinking. Amen. And the way you think that God's going to do it, that's not the way he's going to do it. Hallelujah. I think you're going to understand that a little better, you know, when we get through the rest of the message. But that, let me just lay that foundation. That's our foundation text this morning. Is to show us that the Lord himself, he put it right out there and said, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And he put a comparison, you know, he said, look, as the heavens above and the earth beneath, you know. So you just look at how far above the earth is the heavens. That's how far higher his thoughts are than our thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
And that's how far higher his ways are than our ways. That's how the Lord puts it there. Now, I'm going to tell you two stories. You know, some people enjoy a good story occasionally. I tell some stories, but I usually tell it from the Bible. So I will tell you two stories from the Bible today to go right along with our message. The first story is in 2 Kings. And if you have a Bible, this is 2 Kings chapter 5. And it's a long text. I may read some of it, but I don't think I will read all of it because it's very long. So I will. But this text is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Now, this is a story of Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. So you might call him the chief of army staff, is what he was. So 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. And some of you may know this story or may have heard of this story. But let's bring out a viewpoint here this morning. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because though by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. But he had a problem. You know, he had leprosy in his skin, you know. So it was a great man, chief of army staff, and he commanded all the army and so forth like that. But, you know, and he was a great man of valor, and he had wrought great victories for Syria on every side, you know. But he had this huge problem that he was a leper. And in those days, lepers were like outcasts and so forth like that. So he couldn't really, you know, all of the glory and the fame and everything that he had from his, you know, conquests, he really couldn't. You know, he really couldn't enjoy it all because there was this thing that, you know, it was like a burden to him, this plague that he had, you know. So, and, you know, as time went on, you know, here's what happened. The Syrians had gone out by her companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And then the little maid said to her mistress, "Would God that my Lord, you know, would be with the prophet that is in Samaria, and he would recover him of his leprosy." Oh. So she said, so this little maid they brought captive from Israel was telling her mistress, the wife of Naaman, that look, if my master was in Samaria, there's a prophet there, that he's going to recover this man of his leprosy. You know, so one went in and told the man, you know, and then, you know, he asked and figured it out and so forth. So he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. So he went and told the king, I guess, and the king of Syria, you know, said, well, I'm going to send a letter and all that. So they did everything that they could, you know. So the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel. Now watch this story, because, you know, they've heard, first of all, they were told that there's a prophet, you know, but look at how the carnal mind works, you know. So, you know, this young maid told them there's a prophet that can heal this man. But when the king heard of it, he sent a letter to the other king and said, well, you know, I want you to recover my captain, you know, from his leprosy. you know, that's not exactly what the maid said. Amen. You know, but that's how they were thinking. You know, I was thinking, well, you know, got to be the king and so forth like that. You know, so, well, it wasn't the king. Amen. Amen, folks. It wasn't the king at all. So the king said, well, you know, what am I? Who do you think am I? You know, am I God and so forth? So finally, they said, look, you know, it's not exactly the king. You know, this is where it is. So they straightened the man out. So he went. So he took his journey and he went. So let's take a look at the interesting part of this story from verse 10. That was just a paraphrase. So Naaman, let's start from verse 9. So Naaman came with his chariots and horses and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He finally figured out that it was Elisha that was going to heal him. You know, so Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha didn't even come out of the house. He just said, they said, well, the guy is there. Of course, the Lord already told Elisha that he was coming. You know, so he said, well, the guy is out in front of your door. You know, so then he said, well, go tell him, you know, to do such and such. So here's what he told him. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him and said, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come up again, you know, and so forth, and thou shalt be clean. That's what Elisha told him, you know. And then when Naaman had the message, he was angry. Verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away, you know, and he said, my goodness, this man wouldn't even come out, you know, to meet me. And he sent a messenger to me. Do you know who I am? You know, do you know who I am? You know, so this man was angry. He's thinking that with all his pomp and all his glory, I mean, the man would come out and would do some great thing and so forth. Listen to what he said. He said, look, you know, I surely thought that the man would come out to me, you know. So the fact that he didn't come out to him, that bothered him also. You know, he would come out to him and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and he would strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, so he had in his mind, he had conceived the way that he thought this miracle would take place. Well, the man of God should have come out and stand in front of me, raise up his hand, shout hallelujah or do something, call whatever on his God, and then place his hand upon me, strike over the place, and then heal the thing. You know, so that's what he thought in his mind. Well, Elisha did none of that. He just gave him a simple message. Well, you go wash in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And so he went away angry, and he would have none of it, you know. So, and he said, look, we've got all these beautiful rivers that we have in Damascus. You know, if it is washing in the river that's going to make me clean, I could have washed in any of those clean rivers and the pools and all the beautiful places that we have over there. This Jordan? No way. I'm not going to do it. So he went away in a rage, the Bible says. Well, so, but the Lord is not finished with that story. Amen? Amen? So in verse 13, I guess the Lord moved on some of his servants, and they went to him and said, look, if the prophet had come to thee and bid thee do some great thing, like say, give me $1,000, you know, the man would have done it. Or even I said, do some of these things, you know, do something great, you know, and make you do something, you know, that would be great, you would have done it. But the man asks you to do something simple. It won't cost you anything. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? What you got to lose? Praise the Lord. So his servants had more, you know, sense than this man did. You know, say, look, this prophet, he could have come here and asked for a big, great offering, and you would have been glad to do it, but he didn't do that. He told you to go wash in the pool and do this thing, or wash in the river, you know, what you got to lose? So the man, he didn't want to do it, you know, but finally, he went down. The Bible says in verse 14, so he went down finally and dipped himself 7 times, like the prophet said, according to the saying of the man of the Lord, you know, the man of God, and his flesh came again. As the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's the first of our stories. Now this man, finally he was healed when he did according to the word of the man of God. You know, not according to what he thought. See, but see, the moral of that story, in accordance to our message this morning, is that the man was thinking one way, but God's way was different. Amen. You know, so sometimes people are thinking one way. You know, sometimes you have a disease or you have something, you know, whatever it is. And you're thinking that God's going to do it this way. Well, God may have a different way. Amen. So you got to listen to the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, our second story, which is also similar, you know, somewhat. Our second story is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. Now, there are similar stories in the Bible, but I don't have time for all of them, so I'm going to just do these two. This one story, and some of you may have read it also or heard about it, I'm going to start from verses 1 through 9. Now, I said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, at Jerusalem, there is a sheep market and a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethsaida. You know, having 5 porches. And in there lay a great multitude of impotent folk. You know, they were blind. Some of them were halt. Some of them were withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Why? Because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. This had been going on for a while. The grace of God to them in those times, you know, the Lord will send an angel at a specific season and he will stir the water. And whoever got in first was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, there was a certain man, verse 5, which had an infirmity 38 years. So this man, 38 years. And then when Jesus saw him lie down there on his bed, Jesus knew that he had been long time in that case. Now, I want to let you know right away that Jesus knows the condition that you are in. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. Jesus knows, and he knew that man had been in that condition for a long time. Now, and he said to the man, "Will thou be made whole?" That's a question that Jesus asked. You know, he didn't want to impose on the man. He wanted to see what the man would say. And then the man said, you know, "Are you kidding? I've been coming here all these years, but I'm waiting for the moving of the water. But every time that I come here, I get this close, but somebody gets in ahead of me." You know, of course, the man, because he's halt, you know, he couldn't move, get himself stirred up quickly enough. Somebody always gets in ahead of him. And so these people camped out every year. Well, let me tell you what that camping is like. Some of you might resemble this. It's like you ladies, when you camp out for Black Friday or whatever they call it, you know, day after Thanksgiving, what they call it? Black Friday? Well, I don't know. Whatever. They camp out there at 2 a.m., 1 a.m., whatever. The store is going to open 7 hours later, but they're all camping out. You know, some of them carry their pillows. You know, they're in the parking lot. You know, they want the deal of a lifetime. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Some men do it too. So it's not just the women. All right. But they camp out, you know, all night long, waiting for the opening, because, you know, whoever gets in there first gets the, you know, biggest deals. So that's like what was going on here. These people were camping out. You know, they, if you get in too early, it didn't work. You had to wait for just the thing could happen in the middle of the night. It could happen at 3 a.m. It could happen at 4 a.m., 5 p.m., whatever. So everybody was camping out, looking at the water. And though this man, he came every year, you know, but he never got anywhere. You know, so finally, you know, Jesus met him. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus said, well, would you be made whole? And the man said, of course, I'll be made whole. But I cannot get in the water fast enough. Because somebody always gets in ahead of me. You know, now that's like people today. It reminds me of people. People are always thinking that somebody else always taking their blessing. You know, nobody can take your blessing. Amen. Amen? Amen. What God has for you, he has for you. He has your name on it. And nobody else can take it. And Jesus had a blessing for this man. But this man was looking in the wrong place. He thought his healing was going to come from the water. And the whole time that Jesus was talking to him, he was saying, well, sure. Are you kidding me? Look at my condition. What kind of question is that if I want to make whole? All of us are here. Of course I want to make whole. But I can't get in the water fast enough. And Jesus said, forget about the water. Amen. The master is standing right here. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Forget the water. The Lord is standing right here. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So don't you worry about, you know, sometimes we zero in on what we think. And maybe that's the way God did it for Joe Blow or Susan or John and so forth. And you think that's the way God's going to do for you. No, that's not the way God's going to do it. Amen. God is not a one-way traffic. You cannot put God in a box. Hallelujah. His ways are higher than your ways. And his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And he'll do exactly as he wants to do. But you must not lean to your own understanding. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. You know, but most of the time we are always leaning to our own understanding. We're thinking that that's the way the Lord is going to do it. Well, who has been the Lord's instructor that he should direct the spirit of the Lord? You cannot tell God how he's going to do what he's going to do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. But if you relax and let your mind be stayed on the Lord, lean unto the Lord, not to your own understanding. The next verse in verse 7 of Proverbs 3, 7 says, you know, be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think you have all the answers. Depart from evil and fear the Lord. Amen. You know, so don't think you got the answers. God has the answers. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, these stories that we read earlier, they showed you that when we are thinking one way, God may be thinking in a different direction. Hallelujah. There's yet one more story that I want to bring out that illustrates a different viewpoint. Now, those two stories that I showed earlier, they were stories about healing. People were looking for healing, but they were thinking that this is the way God's going to do it. Well, God had a different plan. Now, here's another story of somebody thinking that God's going to do it this way, but not that way. And this one is not necessarily about healing. So turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 7. In the book of Judges, chapter 7, this is, I'm just going to read, you can read the whole chapter on your own, but I'm going to just concentrate on the first seven verses in the book of Judges, chapter 7. Now, this story, and some of you may have also, again, heard this story. This story is about the story of Gideon. And you may have heard his story. This is Judges, chapter 7. So, the first seven verses is all I'm looking at this morning. But the whole chapter is very interesting. You can read it. Now, then Jerubbaal, who is called Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side, you know, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. So Gideon had a tremendous crowd with him. 32,000, you're going to find out in a minute. And the Lord said unto Gideon in verse 2, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves up, in other words, puff themselves up, and think that they have done it by their own hand. Lest Israel say, my own hand has saved me. So the Lord, he said, look, you've got the army you have is too large. Hello, folks. Isn't that kind of counter to normal thinking? Don't you think that the more people in the army you have, the better chances you stand? You know, but the Lord is exactly the opposite. Amen. You know, there are too many. It's a mixed multitude. A bunch of unbelief is in there. Get rid of them. Amen. I can do better with just a handful of people that really have faith. That's what the Lord was saying. Than a whole bunch of mixed multitude in there that don't have any faith. Because, you know, what they do is they'll put fear. The ones that don't believe anything, they're going to put fear in the hearts of the others. Amen? Amen. That's right. You know, when you company around people that don't believe anything, they're going to steal your vision from you. They're going to tell you, you can't do it. You can't do that. Who said so? Amen. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so you need to know that. Don't worry about the, you know, the numbers, you know, but this man said, well, you know, I've got 32,000 people. Well, God said, look, here's what you're going to do. Come out and announce to them that the battle is going to be very terrible. Some of you may lose your lives. It's going to be strong battle and so forth. So let those who are weak, let them go back home. Those who are fearful, let them go back home. And, you know, whatever else. And if you just married a wife or whatever it is, so go on back home, you know. And let's see those who remain. Well, so Gideon, he did that. He made the announcement. And 22,000 of them. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 3. Now therefore go and proclaim in the ears of the people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. 22,000. Just from one statement, God sifted them out. And then there remained 10,000. So we know he started out with 32,000. And then the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. God looks, see, God can see through all that charade. Amen. Amen, folks. I mean, you can have an assembly of 5,000 people shouting the victory and so forth and praising the Lord and jumping up and down and so forth. And God can see through all of that. God can say, well, those people are a bunch of mixed multitude. Get rid of them, he said to Gideon. Get rid of all of them. You know, so finally, he said, well, how am I going to do it? You know, I mean, I already told the fearful ones to go back and they already went. So the Lord said, okay, here's what you're going to do. Bring them over to the water here. And then, you know, watch how they drink the water. Those that lap with, you know, like this, bend down on the knee and lap with their hand. Those that put their mouth down and so forth. So God gave him a way to separate the people. And at the end of the story, there were only 300 men. 300 men. Verse 5. So he brought down the people to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, every man that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, you know, set him by himself. And everyone else that bent down on his knees to drink, set him by himself. Now, so the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300. And the rest of them that bowed down and so forth to drink, you know, they were, you know, the remaining people, thousands and thousands of people. You know, so there are literally about 9,000, you know, 700 people, you know, out of that 10,000 that did the other way. So God said, only 300 is all I need. So he separated the crowd and he took those 300, he put them on one side. Now, there's another message in that, but I don't want to get into that this morning. But he put them aside and they went home, the others did. So God said to him, here's what the Lord said in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed, will I save you. And I will deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man into his place. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. You know, so God does not look at the numbers the way that people look at. Some people think that, you know, when, you know, you would have thought in a story like this that 32,000 would have done better, you know, in the fight against their enemies than just 300. I mean, are you kidding me? 300 versus 32,000, you know, but the Lord said, yes, with 32,000, it's good. Because I don't want them to think they did it by their own strength. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me give you another scripture that points point blank to that. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6, just one verse there. You know, this is Jonathan, he's talking here. He said, look, you know, I want you to know that the Lord, there's nothing to the Lord to save by many or by few. He can do it any which way he wants. That's 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. The Lord doesn't need numbers. You know, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor and said, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. You know, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord. To save by many or by few. Amen. And most of the time, the Lord would rather choose the few, you know, especially if the many have a bunch of unbelief. You know, because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Amen. So God doesn't need all those numbers if they are not believing. Of course, if they are believing, then that's great. But if they don't believe anything, God wants to send them back. You know, so God doesn't need numbers. He can save by many if he wants, but he can also save by few. And we can see that most of the times when people are looking to many for the strength, then God chooses to do exactly the opposite. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. He said, look, I have seen this. You know, I looked, the preacher, he said, I looked and I saw it. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. He said, that the race is not always to the swift, neither the battle to the strong. Hallelujah. You know, it's not, look, God, the way he does his things is not the way we think. Now, the race is not to the swift. Are you kidding me? I've watched many Olympics stuff, you know, and back in my days too, I used to do track and field. The race was always to the swift. You know, if you are doing a 100 meters dash, you better be the quickest, you know, to get the crown. Amen. But for the Lord, that's not the way it is. The race is not to the swift when it comes to the Lord. Neither is the battle always to the strong. God has a way of doing things. Amen. Different than we think. In fact, God has been known throughout the scriptures to cross his hands. Amen. And take the blessing of the firstborn and give it to the lastborn. He does that. You know, so that the first shall be the last. And the last shall be the first. And there is no one that can say to him, what doest thou? Amen. Why does he do these things? Because he can. Because he is God. And he is sovereign. And we want everybody that's sitting in here today, you know, to know that you cannot question God. God is sovereign. And he will do exactly as he pleases. Praise the Lord. In fact, one of the best, you know, praises to the Lord in that whole Bible came from Nebuchadnezzar. You know, after the Lord showed him that God can do anything he wants. God can raise up and can put down. Amen. And when God raised you up, if you don't give him the glory, he can put you down just as quickly. Amen. So finally, Nebuchadnezzar, he gave one of the most glorious praises to the Lord in that whole Bible. And said, God doeth what he will in the armies of heaven. And no man can stay his hand. Nor can anybody say to him, what doest thou? So God can do all these things, and he does just as he pleases. Now listen to this prayer that Anna, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I prayed concerning, when she was looking for a child, and Anna was the mother of Samuel. Some of you may remember the story. So let me just read a few verses from verses 1 through 9. I may not read them all, but verses 1 through 9 is the place I'm concentrating on. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn also is exalted. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Amen. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. How many of you can say, there is no rock like my God? Well, you know, if you don't have that confidence, you know, maybe this is your opportunity today. If you don't know the Lord as your rock, this is an opportunity for you. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, look, talk no more exceedingly so proudly. You know, don't be saying all of these things, you know, and so forth. You know, because, you know, God, he is a God of knowledge. And by him, all actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken. This is what God does. He can take the mighty men and break all their armor. Break all their ammunition. The bows of the army mighty are broken. And they that stumbled are guarded with strength. So God took the mighty, he broke their bows. And then took the weak that are fallen, he put strength upon them. Hallelujah. That's right. That's how God does his things. You know. That's how he does his things. You know, they that were full, you know, and all that, you can read it, you know. And he said, look, he even taketh the barren woman and make her a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord killeth and he maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He can do all these things. He is the Lord. He raised up the dwarf, the poor also out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar out of the dunghill. Set him among princes. Amen. Amen. You say, well, the beggar doesn't belong. Well, God says, I'll put him there. Amen. That's right. And who are you when God says, I'm going to do something? When God wants to do it, that's it. He does it for his own glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't deserve this. Well, God said, I'm going to put you there anyway. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all the things that we have, good things that we have in life, is it because we deserve them? It's just because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. The Lord, he said, he will keep the feet of his saints, for by strength shall no man prevail. No man shall prevail by strength from the Lord. Amen. You know, it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, not by might, not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is not by man. The things that God does, it's not. Look, his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. You know, in fact, we can't even come close. You know, as the heavens, the distance between the heavens and the earth, that's it. So far above. And even greater than that, you know, and so on. Now, listen to this. You know, There is an instruction here in the Bible that may help you to understand how God works. And it is in the chapter of Romans 9, where Paul was describing the mercies and the grace of God. And I'm going to read it to you as part of this message, because it's a wonderful thing. You know, and as we go into this part of it, we've talked about God can heal and deliver, you know, through ways that you are not thinking. God can, you know, I mean, when we're thinking that God's going to do something because of strength, he does it by little. Amen? You know, so we've seen all of that. But here we're going to talk about the salvation, the saving grace of the Lord. You know, people also think that they're going to be saved by all the good works that they do. You know, I've heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, God's going to measure my works, put them on a scale. If I get 51%, then I passed. Well, you will be surprised. Gonna be a lot of folks that are surprised, folks. Amen? Amen? Because it is not like that at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, on that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, didn't I do all these wonderful works in your name? Didn't I even prophesy, cast out devils? Did all this thing, preached and so forth. Jesus said, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, because see, those people, they were depending upon their works. They thought, you know, because they did all of these things, because they preached, because they did all that and so forth like that. You know, well, God has his own standards. Amen. God has his way that he measures. And let me tell you something, if you are a preacher, God's going to hold you to a higher standard. Amen. Amen, folks? Because the Bible said, be not many of you preachers or teachers, for God's going to hold you to a higher standard. You know, so, you know, that's another subject by itself. But, you know, let's get back to Romans chapter 9 and see what the Lord had to say. From verses 10 through 16 of Romans chapter 9. You know, this is how God does his things. You know, again, this is about the crossing of the hands. You know, God can do anything he wants. You can't hold God to anything, you see, because he is the Lord, you know, and his ways are not necessarily our ways. Now, verse 10 of Romans chapter 9. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. See, this woman, Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, was pregnant with twins. And while she was pregnant, before the children were born, it was said unto her that the elder will serve the younger. God said it. You say, why did he say that? Well, that's a different subject. But listen to this. Having, and you're going to find out when we read it in verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's the purpose of God. He does what he wants, how he chooses. Amen. Amen, folks. It was said to her, you know, that the elder will serve the younger. Not of works, he said, but of him that calleth. The purpose of God is not according to works, but it's of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved and Esau have I hated. But what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He is God. He can do what he wants. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Amen. Amen. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You know, so then, it is not of him that willeth, neither yet of him that runneth, but of the Lord that showeth mercy. Amen. Amen. Now, it is good to run, and you must run. The Bible says, don't you know that everybody runs in a race, but only one gets the crown? You know, so run that you may obtain. You know, so you must run, you know, and so forth. But while you are running, let me let you know, the Bible says that it's not because you're running, it is because of his mercy. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because these two children that were in the womb, neither one of them had even been born. They had neither done any good nor evil. But God already said, I'm choosing the younger above the elder. That's his choice. And he knows how to do these things because his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And only God can do that. Now let's bring this home to salvation. In the book of Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And let's start from verse 3. Now, you know, we are told here that, look, the way that God saved us is not the way we think. So let's read this. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. It said, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. And we were living in malice and envy. We were doing all these things, hateful, you know, hating one another and so forth. You know, this is how people do before, you know, they receive the grace of God into their lives. You know, they have all these vices in there. They may think that they're good, but this is really the way their heart is. You know, doing all these things. You know, but listen to how God can pull this off. Only God can do this. Amen. In verse 4. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How many of you can say amen to that? Well, if you're sitting in here today, and if you think you're going to make it in by the works of your righteousness, well, I got news for you. You know, there's only one passport to heaven. The grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen, folks. That's the only way. There's no other way that you're going to do it. Listen to this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of our Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You know, for by grace ye are saved through faith. Oh my. It is the grace of God that does that. And it is his ways. You know, his way is to save us through grace. His way, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1, verse 21, we're told that God had chosen the foolishness of preaching to bring salvation. You know, when people say, you know, the Greeks, we're told they require, you know, wisdom and so forth. The Jews are looking for a sign. Everybody is looking in a different way. But God said, you know, I'm going to put Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Now, folks, there is no other way and there is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. If you think the works of your hands can do it, you have missed the mark. But God has a plan. And he brought that plan. The Bible says, there's a song that says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. You know, so God, he had it all in his mind that we will not be saved by works of righteousness, but by the grace of God. Amen. But by grace are you saved through faith. You know, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So, where then is boasting? You know, if all of these things are done by God, if it is his way and not our way, you know, then where then is boasting? Boasting is eliminated. Amen?
Amen.
We are saved by the mercy of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want to challenge everyone here today. You may be facing a situation in your life. It might be healing or deliverance from some sort of that you need, like the stories we read this morning. But they were looking in different directions, but God had a different plan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I can tell you something, that God has put in the church the gifts of healing. Amen. That's right, for the body of Christ. So that one is already there. And if any man is sick, God already said, call for the elders of the church and let them lay hands, anointing them in the oil in the name of the Lord. So that's already there. But God has a way of doing different things. And sometimes when you are facing other challenges in life, you don't need to necessarily look to numbers, because God has also shown us that he can use a few rather than numbers. And last but not the least, I'm just summarizing what we have spoken here today, that in the most important topic of salvation, you know, are we going to be saved by our works? You know, people think that, you know, all I have to do is just do good things in life and do all of these things and so forth. Well, that's good, and we must do that, but that's not going to save anybody. You know, the way that God has chosen to do it, he says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. So that is the grace of God. He is the only one that can do it. For before him, strength shall not prevail. Amen.
Amen.
If you understand that, I may say, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet, if you would, please. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. God's ways are not your ways, and God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
Now, of course, the thoughts that God has towards you are thoughts of peace and thoughts of good. Amen.
Amen.
For I know the thoughts that I have towards you.
Amen.
In Jeremiah 29:11, these are thoughts of good and thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen.
Amen.
So, well, if anybody tells you anything that is evil, that's contrary to the word. You can just flat out reject it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I don't worry about anybody, anything that anybody says. You know, Bible says, who is it that saith and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? That's in Lamentations 3:37. You can't say something and it's going to come to pass. The Lord has not commanded it. God has commanded only blessing for his people. Amen.
Amen.
That's what Balaam, he found that out. Cursed the people of God, say, you cannot do it. God has put a blessing on them. You cannot put a curse on them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Now, if you know that you are a child of God and you are in the house and God has commanded his blessing upon you, let me see your hands up. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the hands that are, keep your hands up. All the hands that are up, God has called you to inherit a blessing.
Amen.
But the way that he's going to do it may not be the way that you are thinking. God has a blessing for you. All blessings. And when God gave promise to Joseph that his brothers will bow down before him and all of these things will happen, he never knew how he would do it. You know, God never told him how he would do it, but God gave him that revelation nonetheless. And God had to send him to prison. In fact, God had to take him clear across the world, you know, as a slave somewhere, and into prison somewhere else, you know, even deeper in the slammer every time. He kept getting into more trouble, which he was innocent. You know, we know he was framed, you know, until the word of the Lord brought him out. Amen. You know, so, you know, if he had stayed in Israel or Canaan, the land of Canaan where they were, you know, maybe he never would have got a chance to get that, you know, promise fulfilled in his life. You know, but God had a way that he was going to bring it. Amen.
Amen.
And God's ways were not our ways. And even though his brothers thought him evil, God meant it for good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Joseph said, you thought to do me evil, but God meant it for good. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Anybody that thought to do you evil, don't worry about it. God is going to turn it around for your good. Amen.
Amen.
God is going to turn it around.
Amen.
For your good. Amen. I want Pastor Emmanuel to come up and help me with this song. I can see everything turning around for my good. Praise team, come on up. And as we sing this song, I want you to focus on whatever it is you want the Lord to do for you. But don't think that this is the way that God must do it. God has a way to bring things to pass that you don't even know about. Amen.
Amen.
Now, your situation, wherever you are in today that you need help with, you need deliverance, you need whatever it is that you want to break through in your life, God is going to do something for you. A new season is about to begin for you. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
Well, I say a new season is about to begin for you.
Amen.
One person once said, he said, let the loudest amen get that miracle.
Amen.
I said, let the loudest amen get that miracle.
Amen.
I can see everything turning around for my good. Amen. I want you to remember this day. Amen. Well, let me rephrase that. The Lord is going to give you something to remember this day by. Amen. And you will never forget this day, because God is going to start a new season in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I always like to give people a chance to receive maximum help when they come to these services. And I'm going to do something. Now remember, Elisha, the man of God, he said, go over here, dip in that river for 7 times and you'll be healed. And the man said, I'm not going to do it because, you know, you should have done something else. Well, God's ways are not your ways. Praise the Lord. And God gives a different anointing for every service. Now, if there's anybody in the house today, something that has been difficult, insurmountable, every time you get this close, just like the man, he got this close, but somebody always got in ahead of him. You say, well, I always get this close, but somebody else always get promoted. I always get this close, but, you know, some people even say, well, why is it that all the good men are always taken, some women that are looking for husbands? or somebody who's looking for a wife, say, you know, why can't I? Well, whatever. Whatever it is. When we sing this song this next time, I want you, never mind who's looking at you. Amen? Amen, folks? If you are still worried about somebody that's looking at you, you're not ready for your miracle yet. You know. But if you want your miracle, and I'm going to say to you in the word of the Lord today, and if anybody, it doesn't matter whether, oh, I've been prayed for before, I don't know about that, but I know what God is saying right now. If you will take a step of faith and come out of your seat when they're singing this song and stand right here in front of me and lift up your hand and believe the Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord to do something for you. And it's going to be a new season. A new season will start and you will never forget this day. I can see everything turn around for my good. When they sing this song, come on down and stand right here by faith. And let's see what the Lord will do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands together. Come on.
I can see everything turning around. Turning around for my good. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you that are here, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Now, if I spoke the word of the Lord here this morning, the Bible says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the purpose of God in your lives. Amen.
Amen.
And it shall do that unto which the Lord sent it. Hallelujah. Now, let me read to you what the word of the Lord is going to do for you in your life, because you came out here. Listen to this. In the same chapter that we read in Isaiah 55, where we started our text this morning, that's where we're going to close. But listen to what he says in verse 12. Remember, we read Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, talking about my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and so forth. And listen to it, what he says here from verse 11. Or let me even read from verse 10. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow, and does not return there, but watereth the earth, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. Now hear ye the word of the Lord here this morning. For ye shall go out with joy. Every one of you. You will leave this place with joy. And you will be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills, they shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall celebrate your success. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands for you. Hallelujah. You will go out with joy. You will be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. And all the trees of the field, they shall line up and they shall celebrate. They shall clap their hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will arrange it. Don't worry about how he's going to do it. Just know that he's going to do it. Instead of the thorn, there shall come up the fir tree. Instead of blackness, there shall come forth in your life light. Instead of darkness, the light shall shine upon your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes. And you will know that the Lord has done it for his own name. It will be an everlasting sign. It will be something that you will never forget. Give everybody a hand clap in this place. Hallelujah. Now go forth with joy, and you will be led forth with peace. God will make the mountains and the hills, all the things that hitherto have been insurmountable, mountains that you could not climb, hills that you could not climb, God will make them to begin to break forth into singing. Hallelujah. God will bring them down before you, and he will line up people to celebrate your success. People will do things where you say, I don't know why I'm doing it. Or you say, well, I know why you're doing it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And if you believe all of that, you can shout amen.
Amen.
Shout it again, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may go back to your seats.